Culture eats strategy for lunch, and informed cultures drive decisions and inspire action. At the Data Culture Podcast, we talk with execs, visionaries, and data experts so that you may move from idea to outcome in your own data culture journey. Welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. My name is Sid Atkinson, data culture innovator and consulting leader with over 21 years in data. With me are two of my partners in crime, Sean Deggins and Lee Harper. So, Lee, Sean, say hello, introduce yourselves.
Hi, yeah, so I'm Sean Deggins. I'm an architect. I've been involved in technology for 25 years and have pretty much worked the full gamut from application development, mobile development, distributed systems. And probably for the last 10 years, my focus has really been on data systems and data and AI. That's my new primary love.
And I'm Lee Harper, AI human with 10 years plus experience in machine learning stuff. I'll give my normal intro there. And allegedly, so people tell me, I know about MLOps.
Yes, figure. You do. And so that is the genesis for today's conversation. This one is a little different in that we don't have anybody outside of Applied Curiosity on the podcast. So why is that? The interesting thing is I will do a total, not today I learned, but the other day I learned just how divergent the views that we have on MLOps are from what the market definition is. And it's one of those things where, you know, you have to be careful about the assumptions you make. And in this case, I learned that our thoughts, and I'll say collectively, our thoughts on what MLOps is and where it has been going as people mature their approaches, I had made some assumptions about where it was going. And then we're doing work with a client, realized, wait a minute, we are much more divergent from the textbook definition than I thought. So thought it was worthwhile to say, it's like, hey, why the heck are we have some different views on this? But before we frame up some of those different views, like Lee, there was a reason that MLOps as it's defined today came about. So what are those key challenges in model building and the emergence of MLOps so that we can have that quick history on why it started the way it started, but also then we can talk about our views on why it's stuck where it is and what we think it needs to be.
Yeah, historically, kind of people that became data scientists, this is true of I'm by no means old, but I feel like I'm old sometimes in the field, given I've been in it for, it'll be 11 years in November 2024. Most people who entered the field were mathematicians. I'm an ex-chemist and physicist, statisticians, computer scientists. But the kind of key tying thing was research. A lot of this other stuff was research. Even my uncle was an operations researcher doing this kind of stuff in the 80s and 90s. And researchers like math. They like solving math problems. Typically speaking, they don't enjoy writing code. In fact, many are, to put it bluntly, incapable of writing good quality code. They could learn, but software engineering is a whole discipline in of itself. And you've got to get data scientists. Often it's not deemed worthwhile to have them spend the time learning a skill set that other people, honestly, who are often cheaper in the market, that traditionally was more commodity, have.
Yeah. They're like artisans. They're the ones like building the furniture one time. They're not trying to build the factory to build many pieces of furniture.
Absolutely. And so around about 2015, there out came a paper by some people at Google on machine learning system design, trying to bridge this gap between all these models exist, but no one can do anything with them.
Right? Yes.
Or we're sending Excel files via email to the various teams to give them the model outputs. And that's not really very sustainable. Of course, Google and co led the way here in the mid-2010s by, we've solved this problem, and here's how we think about system design, not just the model design.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a famous picture where the model bit is the tiny piece of this enormous diagram that kind of lays out everything else that's there. So I think part of the reason why we are where we are is because data scientists are relatively recent. And honestly, MLOps was coined in 2019 as a term. So it's less than 5 years old as a term that's even been coined. DevOps is a term that's been around for quite a while. So MLOps in many ways is data science rediscovering DevOps for the machine learning. And isn't it different? All the same things apply, plus the extra data operational things that aren't in a software, necessarily a software DevOps model. But the big kind of differentiator is that in software engineering, you might have different teams that write the software compared to who maintain it in production. It may be the same team, it may be different teams, but both teams have a shared lexicon, a shared skill set, right? They're all software engineers, maybe with different focuses, but the software people. In data science, our lexicon is very different to the software engineer's lexicon. Testing doesn't mean a unit test, doesn't mean QA. For us, testing means statistics, hypothesis testing.
And so, but real quick, before we get into the differences, but let's just frame back up the key challenge, right? So key challenge, Google published the paper 2015, noticed that brilliant people doing work, but nothing was getting delivered to the market. So it's like you have all these great folks like building their really fantastic chairs, beds, whatever, woodworking furniture, but nobody's out there buying it. Nobody's out there experiencing what was being built. And I want to say nobody, but few people, right? So the MLOps emerged as a discipline because the discipline of getting stuff out to the public was missing. So that the last mile, basically, like they were, let's not even address how perfectly or imperfectly they might've been building things, but the last mile has always been the big problem in software. And the last mile was completely unaddressed in the data science field. So MLOps came about, like, how do we take software dev practices, apply it to data science, solving what's been a common last mile problem for every discipline. And so therefore focused, not boil the ocean, not go all the way back, but let's solve the last mile. So MLOps focus on last mile. And, but yeah, you were now talking about like the market view on MLOps still is stuck on that last mile. And then that's.
And I think a large part of that is this different lexicon. Your data scientists speak differently. They use different tools, different languages often. A lot of data scientists write code in R. Very few software engineers know R, if any. You don't really write software in R. It's not designed for that. But yeah, a lot of models are built to production grade technology in R. So I think that's also partly why we have this gap has persisted, because often there truly is a handover. Data scientists will hand across their code to the MLOps team to productionize. Their job is now done. Next model, please, right? These data scientists rarely, well, depending on the model a corporation adopts or an enterprise adopts, but many data scientists aren't involved at all or are only peripherally involved in that productionization and maintenance. Whereas I feel that in software engineering, the teams are a bit closer in a shared lexicon and a shared experience rather than these two very, very different and disparate things. And it's very telling that most MLOps engineers are ex-software engineers. Not all, there are some, like me, that come from the data science side. Mm-hmm. But many are software engineers who've learned some ML stuff to be able to kind of be MLOps and fill that.
Now, when we're talking about, it's like before we could get dive into, say, where have we expanded? So initial view of MLOps, focus on last mile problem, right? Like how can we take what software engineers have done for decades, now start to apply this to data science workloads, thus MLOps born. But now we, in our own view, have expanded past that last mile to, okay, now we have many known paths to be successful. So now let's move on and start expanding how we solve the entirety of the model management lifecycle. So the kind of recap, anything else to add to on the market view for MLOps before is, okay, what is our view on this? And how have we been talking about it? Then we can wait for the hate mail to roll in.
I'll pass on to you both, kind of, you know, I would give here that, and we had on the podcast a little while back, Jody Blumberg from Cox Automotive, VP of Data Science there. And you know, she had this great expression, don't build toy boxes. She and we've often seen people being stuck in innovation hell. Right, research, or real value being added. And that really does start, that can start from the beginning, right? You know, model management or the model lifecycle really starts on ideation, potentially, right? What models should I even build? Can I? Mm-hmm. Should I? Rather than that starting when you have the recipe built, so to speak. You should really start before you have the recipe rather than at the point. I think that's the frame of an expanded view of this, right? Encompass everything from ideation through to production rather than just the last mile. So, Sean, I'll ask to you for some of your experiences, wounds, and scars.
So more of my model deployment, it is even a little different, right? Because a lot of my experience has been on the IoT edge side. So it's not even just a model going into standard API inferencing. It's a model that's going to sit out on some gateway somewhere. And I really like the model lifecycle as a terminology because we keep using the term last mile, but in all honesty, like there's never a last mile. If we think about, and we haven't brought it up yet, but if we start talking about model drift or context drift, where and on edge devices that are looking at machines, that may not necessarily be something that's a big concern. But if I'm creating something like a recommendation model, that's going to sit on an e-commerce site and it's getting constant streams of data, that model eventually is not going to be accurate for the new data that it's getting from customers or anything else. We go from summer close to fall close, right? And now we're trying to use the same recommendation model or what. So I would say there's no real last mile. Like that doesn't exist. We get it out into production, but then there's a whole process of basically keeping the thing alive in a way that's very different from software. In software, we may fix bugs, but you know, the software can remain fairly static with maybe changes in features recommended from business changes, but those are very well managed and handled. Here we have almost this like living thing that we have to monitor and make sure its health is correct on a regular basis, which adds a whole level of complexity that I think the MLOps is supposed to take care of those things. Like the idea is that MLOps should be part of taking care of that process. So that's more of the end of the things. Mm-hmm. And then at the beginning, if we're just starting from the model for MLOps, to me, that's not the right place to start. It really starts with the business.
Yeah, it's funny. I couldn't help, Sean, as you're saying, like, I agree with you that last mile is a term, not great, because it doesn't count until it's delivered. But it's the same thing, like when we go back to talking to developers, are you done or are you done? Yeah. And I can tell you probably have a more responsible teenager than my absent-minded boy, because we talk about done or done and all the time. And it's not even a last mile sometimes for him. Sometimes it's a game of inches, right? I saw, it's so wonderful that you remembered to print your schedule for high school. And it's wonderful to see that it is still on the kitchen table when you left for school that day, because you didn't put it in your backpack, right? Awesome that he actually knew to go to the counselor that first day of school to get the schedule. So I'm applauding victories here. But it's I think you hit on something else too, that was, which is then we are looking at, awesome that MLOps helped bring the data science community forward, right? It was absolute chaos on the delivery side. Great work was done, but there was zero management on how it got pushed out to production. And as Lee pointed out, part of the challenge in pushing out to production is the lexicon's different. So when the developers are used to code and configuration drives deployments to production. Whereas in data science, you have a minimum of data, code, and configuration.
Good luck with configuration. Typically, you get a notebook or studio instance with no functions, no tests, 2,000 lines of code, top to bottom, monolithic, less the hearts.
As we said, data scientists don't necessarily know how to program. They know how to do math and think through problems.
Well, they program. They do software engineering.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, so MLOps, again, solved this important problem. But now we're saying like what we have viewed and to continue to, and maybe this is our more so than anybody else's, we have added to the definition of MLOps, and maybe it's that we shouldn't have added. And then once I start pursuing those ideas, have I like couched in any way how much time I'm going to spend doing those, knowing that out of many things that I'm going to do, some of these things are going to fail. And so how do I know when to pivot versus the classic pivot versus persevere question? So as we have talked to folks, we have, and that's back to the other day I learned, we have added probably more to the definition of MLOps than obviously what other people are doing. So big question is, what are those other things that we're adding to it? And then should we just come up with a different name or view for this version of the world? It's a very needed, like we can see the gaps as we work with folks. This other part of managing the ideas, knowing when to move on from certain ideas, knowing when to persevere on other aspects. And as we mentioned, fail fast on certain things. Can we even triage the idea before we actually start building a model?
Well, and also knowing what good enough means, right? Because you can always do R&D forever to make a model a little bit better, right? At what point is a model good enough to give a measurable improvement to the business? And it's amazing how few data science teams I talk to know that, right? Our model needs to be accurate X percent of the time. Okay, great. Does it really?
Yeah.
How does that map onto business metrics? The best ones can answer those questions, but many teams cannot.
Yeah. So give an example on that without betraying any client details right there. But if you have said many times when we talk with clients, is beat your baseline. And so if you are, through human processes, catching, say, 10% of an activity that you're looking for, and the model now helps you capture 20, given a certain volumes that maybe if that's over a large enough volume, that's a huge gain, right? Is it worthwhile to continue to tinker with your model and try to get it to capturing 90% of activities? and then therefore delay getting it out?
So I built a model many moons ago. Gee, I was a baby data scientist back in the day for a very well-known car manufacturer. And we were trying to, you know, predict repurchase of vehicles to their marketing department. And we achieved a really good rate of precision, kind of a measure of accuracy, 12%. Mm-hmm. I tell any data scientist about that metric and they laugh their heads off. Oh, that's terrible. That's bad. That's so bad. Why did you deploy that to production? What on earth are you talking about? That's dreadful.
Yeah.
Normally, most models, we're talking 70, 89% precision is a typical number to get. But in this case, it's marketing and the humans were less good than the machine learning model was. Actually, 12% was a massive bump in response rates for their marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. We actually increased their sales of new cars by 40% and attributed to their marketing campaigns. Cars are expensive. That's a lot of money that came out of this model with a terrible thing. And that's how we determined. We saw what the humans are doing. We knew our model sucked from traditional data science metrics, but we knew it didn't suck from the actual dollar numbers that actually mattered. Mm-hmm. Right? Because end of the day, they're a car manufacturer. They're making money.
Yep.
If we're increasing that number by enough money that justifies what they're paying us, it's a win. And again, you can tinker with it later. You can make it better later, and we did. But even that model was completely worth deploying to get them value today rather than waiting and deferring value for the future, which without any guarantee, it would be a lot better.
And so that's a great definition, like around, unless like the upstream piece, right? When we have been working with clients and talking about the importance of that upstream piece, because you can see that as a block sometimes, if like somebody is going to phase gate the deployment of something by, okay, 12% precision, what the heck are you thinking, Lee? Like, we can't push that out. And so that without that missing business, or with the missing business case, like we have seen many times on the front side of which ideas, the right ideas, what qualifies as success, and when should we pivot, persevere, or have we now achieved enough gain that it's worthwhile in doing? So like that kind of function, those ideas of idea management, business outcome management, business mapping, we have pushed that into how we talk with clients to think about MLOps. But as we've, again, been discovering recently, that there's the danger in doing that is being too divergent from the rest of the field. And maybe this idea should belong somewhere else. So I don't know, Lee or Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say, so this isn't, obviously, this is not a unique problem to machine learning, right? In the software development field, we've spent just countless hours finding out how to interpret business requirements and turn those into software. There's domain-driven design, there's software development lifecycle, there's all these. Scrum was basically designed with this idea that I'm going to sit down with the product owner and build something out, and it's going to be in increments and pieces until we finally get like a vision of what we're looking for. And it's interesting to me, whenever I look at MLOps or machine learning, it tends to be, there's the nebulous, we want to know what the business goals are, and then we're going to find a fit, right? A model that fits, right? Mm-hmm. So that's maybe the next stage. And then we're going to gather a bunch of data for it that will like specific to that model. And that's the process. And it's okay, now we're on to like doing machine learning and putting it in production. It's like, how did you somehow manage to skip all of this stuff that software development, which is very deterministic? How did you skip all of those steps whenever software development can't do those things? You know, it still has to have this very one-on-one communication with the business and an iterative process. Whereas it seems like in the machine learning world or MLOps, it's, oh, data scientist goes, does some work, comes up with a model, we put it in production, good to go. That seems to be I could be totally wrong, but that does seem to be the kind of the approach or the idea.
A lot of enterprises, organizations don't think about MLOps until they need it. They're not really planning for it. Now, and given a number of orgs, this is not a new field anymore. A number of orgs do MLOps, but a number still don't. This is honestly a good chunk of our work, right? It's helping orgs establish the capability, both in government and commercial. But to give an example, several years ago, working at a large enterprise customer, a group came to us. We have a model ready to deploy. Okay, great. And it integrated with the website for this global firm. Okay, great. So we're like, okay, so how does this deal with, you know, caching in different nations? What do you mean? Well, okay, the website team, how are they going to hook into your model? What do you mean? When you this deployed by next month? Okay, does the website team know this? We don't know. So, and then of course, so then me at a prior company, approach website team to start. And they're like, oh yeah, our slate's full. We can't even look at this until we're 2 quarters away.
Wow.
Because, you know, they global firm, right? Yeah. Website team had a very large bag of things that needed to happen to maintain all the, you know, enormous number of pages this firm had. So had they been thinking about this when the model was being built 6 months, well, now we're ready to deploy. Website team, it's in our backlog this quarter. We're ready to go. We've always thought about our integration.
Yeah.
This hadn't been done at all. And so that caused huge delays. We had an MLOps consideration in the process during ideation, and even before model development started, then this would have been a much smoother overall process, given that there's no value until this thing is on the website.
And this example is why I've really been liking the data product kind of discussions generally. Now, I think they're all getting settled, and I agree with many opinions and not all, so I will say that. But it's back to like the factory example that I hate for software, because I think even in software design, Sean, I think the other part that they focus too much on the factory, and the factory is the only part of software dev, and forgetting that even when I'm building a bunch of toys, I'm actually over here designing which toys, I'm researching which market, and those teams understand the cost to build that toy before they start shoving it through the factory. Like, what's the market? What's the upside? How can I build this? And then all that kind of creative destruction cycle happens before it gets pushed through. So software dev is not just the factory, software dev is all. Same thing with model building. And that's been to the biggest disconnect in why MLOps first started, is like you had these people over here innovating on all sorts of ideas, completely mismanaged, and then like walking up to Foxconn and saying, hey, now can you build this and deploy it? Like Foxconn, it's like, how did you get through the gate? what the heck happened here? And so it's like that piece, like that example he just gave illustrates these people are here iterating on things, no idea the cost to put it through the factory, no idea the schedule to put it through the factory. And so one of the biggest reasons I see we need to draw a circle around all of these data products and bring this into the fold is that if people were aware of the cost to build it and push it through, maybe they would work on something else.
And then listening to, I think Jody brought up McKinsey and company did a study that showed, you know, for these things, there's typically for every dollar you spend on R&D on these things, it costs between $3 to $5 to actually get it integrated into the business, right? It actually often costs more. And the earlier you get ahead of that, this comes more on the threes of the figure, right? The more disruption by leaving this too late, you get more towards that five end of the figure with all the inefficiencies that you end up generating.
Yeah.
So people often forget with these models, the main cost isn't with your data science team. The main cost is everything else that has to happen to support and train and integrate their work into the wider organization.
So then we kind of recap where we've been on this, bringing up a whole variety of both challenges, pains, and history here. MLOps came about to finally, like, brilliant people working on brilliant things, but we could never either realize value, you know, or test the gain that they were getting for us because things weren't consistently getting out to production. So nice that it solved and focused on that problem. I'll just again say last mile, Sean. It was the last mile. So last mile, and then got that problem solved, right? Which was the major pain point at the time. So now that we got that part and we're all getting better, I won't say we're better, we're getting better at that. We need to expand the definition or the things. And so our observation is the next big thing we see people wasting their time and the inefficiencies is on what are they choosing to work on? And that's back to, I love that quote that you said earlier, I love Jody's quote, stop building toy boxes. So MLOps is probably not the right encompassing term here. There's something else. I think Lee, you proposed model lifecycle management, but whether we like shove it under the data product umbrella as well, I think there's room there, but this is the next big thing we see clients consistently is like, how do I manage the ideas? How do I know how I can start to triage, like which ideas are tenable? Just because I have certain things doesn't mean I can gain traction. So how do I test ideas for traction? How do I then, once I've tested that I could potentially get traction, how do I then go about doing that? And then what do I watch for to know to pivot, persevere, or I've got something that's ready to go. So
and that's an important piece as well here, because with one of the difference between data science, all kind of AI disciplines and others, and some more engineering ones is the failure rate, right? Often this stuff is R&D when it's pure R&D when it starts out. Often this hasn't even been done before. Even if it can be done, is your data good enough? Does the model good enough to be a human? We often don't know.
Yep.
And so we do have a very high failure rate. Many models will fail long before they hit production just because the idea wasn't tenable. And that's okay. The key thing is that we learn from our mistakes. So part of this as well is that knowledge management. How do we avoid, how do we learn, and not just learn personally, but the team learns from the kind of failures. Because a failure is only truly a failure, of course, if you don't learn from it, right? Yeah. If you learn from it and use it to implement anything else, it's not really failed, like organizationally.
And to speak to Sid's point on the, what do we call it, or how do we approach it even, it's in the name, right? I mean, it's data science, right? So if we're creating a hypothesis, we're testing our hypothesis from the beginning, when we're couching that in the terms of like business, right? We have some bet that we're going to make. We want to make some bet in the market. And so we have hypothesized that if we do something that's probabilistic, that is now something we can test and we can build tests around it. Doesn't always necessarily require training a machine learning model even on that. That can be tested with the data. So there's that steps of ML ops of maybe we don't even have to go to ML. Maybe we can test it with data. Then it gets to the, okay, let's get into the machine learning side of things if that's working. Yeah. And it seems to me that if ML ops was going to more accurately reflect DevOps, which DevOps does encompass like the ideation side of things as well, ML ops should too. But I would even look at it more from the terms of, okay, we're gonna create a hypothesis here and we're gonna work from that.
And that's probably the bias that's worth mentioning when I came into this. So having done DevOps before, so have both an app dev and a data background, but then Sean, Josh and I were doing like pounding the DevOps drum long ago. And yeah. There was specifically Jez Humble and folks talked about CICD, which was a sub-discipline of DevOps. DevOps was encompassing of product owners, product management, Scrum, the whole process. And so when I first heard MLOps, I started over applying DevOps thinking to MLOps is, oh yeah, we need data product managers. We need this, we need that. And that's like that, to me, that's the biggest gap. So if I'm like putting things, so you know what? I don't really care what we call it. If the rest of the market doesn't want to expand MLOps to make it match DevOps, yep. All right, to heck with them. Two roads in a diverge in a yellow wood and we're going to take that one. We may have to name it something different and everybody else can go take that one or whatever. It's all good. but yeah, I would see just the key takeaway I see for folks to look at is MLOps is missing today, the market definition, MLOps is missing that product management as the number one thing that needs to be tackled next. Time is our most precious resource. You got to pick the right things to go in and you have to know when to cut your losses when things aren't working. And that's the number one thing. And good product management, data product management, whatever we want to put around the umbrella term here is like the missing discipline, the next missing discipline for data science and machine learning work.
You know that the best data science leaders, what they actually do, or one of the things they do well, is help to narrow the hypothesis space down. Mm-hmm. I could do 50 different things. Well, that's not helpful. What are the five things of that 50 that are both most likely to work and add the greatest value? What's that intersection point look like? And that really is what the best data science leaders do very, very well. They are the bridge between different stakeholders because they know how to elicit the business requirements that are needed and what the value is. They also know and can map that onto the models and know within the bounds of the literature and the bounds of the research community what's likely to work given what's been done before kind of around the world,
yeah.
Which is very much filling that gap. And I'm sure some will do define MLOps more broadly. Just, you know, you look at any textbook or kind of standard definition, kind of lacks.
Yeah, and not to create too much of a buzz or like recency bias around Jody's podcast, but yeah, she had so many great points and I've gotten a lot of compliments on her episode there. But I thought that was also the importance, like when you underlined what makes good data science leaders, and that was one thing that she talked about that's really important is get out of the building, right? You hear that like in startups and DevOps and product thinking, get out of the building, go experience what your customers are doing. And as she had mentioned in Cox Automotive, walk the factory floor, right? Go see what people are doing so that you can, as you say, narrow the hypothesis space.
And on that, you know, when we were doing this car manufacturer, we spent half a day in their call center and half a day in their dealerships, watching their car dealership salespeople. And actually what they do behind the scenes while you're test driving your car.
Yes. And to give one of our other guests a plug, if you haven't listened to Reza's episode on AI product management, he covers a lot of these things too. And that's where it's, again, the bias on, like we talked to Reza and had this fantastic discussion. And you get my brain mapped the things he's talking into the umbrella of the MLOps. And I realize that the umbrella is like this big.
And if you listen to Reza's podcast, I don't think he ever talks about MLOps.
He doesn't. No, you're right. He doesn't actually mention that. So it was my own kind of framing, pushing it there when it actually isn't there. So again, the other day I learned. All right, y'all. So it sounds like we're in agreement. Number one recommendation for folks is when you're looking at MLOps, understand how most people define it, that it is missing this product ownership, product management side, that this is the toughest part of the discipline in software dev, toughest part of discipline in data dev, and absolutely the toughest part of when you're building models, whether that's a stats model, R, Python, deep neural net, whatever it is, this is the toughest decision, is what are the right things to pursue? Because you inherently have a lot of uncertainty, particularly when you're looking at data and trying to come up with outcomes out of that data.
And but people are complex.
And people...
Predicting people's behavior is very difficult and very complex because people are unpredictable.
Yeah. People, weather, children, that's all. Pets.
Co-founders.
Co-founders, yes. Yeah. God, they can be real jerks sometimes. So, all these things are complex. Is the worthwhile, it is the question worth asking, the problem we're solving, the pursuit worth putting your time and effort into. And that is the next big problem we see people need to get better at is data and AI product management. And that is the missing piece and the missing discipline, why Reza's talk was very needed, why Jody's points were very salient, and why people with the, yes, if you get good at MLOps, you may get very good at pushing a lot of things out, but did you push the right things out? And did you spend your time on the right things? Knowing what to spend your time on is very important. And the next big recommendation, which is it really the next big recommendation? We're just reminding people on the recommendation that always exists, how best to spend your time. Same song, different generation. All right, y'all. Thanks for your time today. See everybody later.